Good morning, everyone. How we doing? Good. Turn up the music just a little bit, Tracy.
The Lord Jesus deserves our praise. Would somebody simply agree? When two or more gathered in His name, He said there He would be. I want to second the motion and carry out the Father's plan. So if you love my Jesus, let me see your hand. If you love my Jesus, take a stand. If you love Him, all in favor say aye. Aye. Do you love Him? All in favor say aye. Yeah. If you don't believe what is right, you're gonna fall for anything. Come on and cast your votes for Jesus Christ. Claim Him as your King. I want to second the motion and carry out the Father's plan. So if you love my Jesus, let me see your hand. If you love my Jesus, take a stand. Do you love Him? All in favor say aye. Aye. Do you love Him? All in favor say aye. Can I get a witness to testify for the Lord? Someone who is not ashamed to stand upon His word. All in favor say aye. Aye. Do you love Him? All in favor say aye.
All in favor say aye.
Say aye. Yeah. All in favor.
All in favor say aye.
Say aye. All in favor. All in favor say aye. Do you love Him? All in favor. All in favor. All in favor. All in favor say aye.
Tamara, good job, Tam. Well, it's good to see you all out today. We're going to have a wonderful service. You're a good-looking bunch today. Yeah. Oh, you're sitting in front here. Yeah. Oh, you're in the second row. Yeah. He's second Baptist. Second. Oh, it's good to have you all out. We're going to have a wonderful service. Let's go to prayer. Lord, we thank You for today. We pray that You'll bless us as we share together. And we thank You for the worship that we've already received. And, Lord, we pray that You will inhabit our praise and worship today. And Lord, just open up our minds, open up our hearts to receive what You'd have us to receive. We thank You for today. Bless us now. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Shake someone's hand and say, God bless you, to anybody. Anybody.
Anybody.
Thank you. Man. But pink. Okay, that's good enough. Billy Bob's Dairyland is having a buffet today for the Baptists. It's a potluck dinner. Okay, I just had to put that out there. We've got Mikey back in town with us. He's been touring. Oh, Mike, a point of business. Don't let me forget, I have to tell you something business-wise. somebody called me trying to get a hold of you. Okay, that being said, I can't read. My mind anymore? Oh, it's gone.
They have a badge day.
I'm going to be 64 in 3 weeks. And so this morning, you know what we're online trying to do? This new stuff you're supposed to eat, it helps your mind and memory. It's no, I'm not doing it yet. But if I do, then I won't have to make these interruptions. Mike is here with Conway Show. We love him. He's a brother of mine. I love this guy. He writes a lot of his own original music. He's going to come sing for us. Come on, Mike. Are you going to sing one of your originals right now?
Yeah.
What are you going to sing for us?
The Door.
The Door. I love this one. Mike Walker, folks, right here.
I'm the son of my father and the son of man. I'm the king of all kings, but I'm known as the Lamb. Mine is the blood that cleanses all sin. I'll take over your life if you'll ask me in. I am the door. You are the key to get to heaven. You have to go through me. I am the Lord. I'll set you free. I hung your sin on Calvary. You don't have to be afraid anymore. I am your Savior. And I am the door. I don't ask too much of you. I gave you free will. You can do what you want to, and I will love you still. But I can't help but hurt inside when you make a bad choice. You might hear me whisper in your ear, I'll be that little voice. I am the door. You are the key to get to heaven. You have to go through me. I am the Lord. I'll set you free. I hung your sin on Calvary. You don't have to be afraid anymore. I am your Father, and I am the door. I know it's not easy to believe with blind faith, but it shows my name is Jesus. If you come, I'll lead the way. 'Cause I am the door. You are the key to get to heaven. You have to go through me. I am the Lord. I'll set you free. I hung your sin on Calvary. You don't have to be afraid anymore. No, you don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to be afraid anymore. My name is Jesus, and I am the door.
Yeah, Mike. Well, we have Gary Dooms in the house, the best horn players in town. He said he's going to do a real fast one, so get ready for it. Well, a couple of fast ones, really, huh? All right, so we're ready for it. Gary Dooms. Oh, my goodness, Gary Dooms. He's very humble. Bernie's in the house. Bernie Parkett. One of the best singers in town, sings at the Hard Luck Diner.
Oh, hello.
Yes. Hi, yeah. Don't worry about me.
Okay. Let's put that there. There you go. Okay. How are you today?
I'm hanging in there. So what are you going to sing for us?
I have a request from Margaret and these people over here. I'm going to do my rap song.
Rap? Yeah. Christian rap. Okay, Bernie.
He hates it when I say that.
Bernie's going to rap.
Okay.
It's
Let's
a rap
today.
It's a rap.
Okay. Turn her up. Maybe.
We used to hide from the light. We made friends with the night. We were headed the wrong way down a one-way track, going nowhere fast. We got used to the dark. We thought, this is who we are. So we figured that we were just too far gone, but we were wrong. Then love came running like a river. We got washed in the water. Then he said, you're forgiven. Your sins are gone. That was then. This is now. Washed by the blood, saved by the sun. The same song, sing about. That was lost. This is found. It's time to say goodbye to the old you now. So go ahead, put the past in the past. Box it up like an old photograph. You don't have to go back. That was then, and this is now. We've been remade by grace. We all got new names, and nothing we do could ever change what he did that day. Cause love came running like a river. We got washed in the water. Then he said, you're forgiven. And you belong. That was then. This is now. Washed by the blood, saved by the sun. The saints all sing about. That was lost. This is found. It's time to say goodbye to the old you now. So go ahead, put the past in the past. You box it up like an old photograph. You don't have to go back. That was then. If we turn and confess every unrighteousness, he is faithful and just to forgive. So turn and confess every wrong and regret, and see what it means to live. Oh, 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 that was then, this is now. You're washed by the blood, saved by the sun, the saints I'll sing about. That was lost, this is found. It's time to say goodbye to the old you now. So go ahead, put the past in the past. Box it up like an old photograph. You don't have to go back. That was then, and this is now. That was then, and this is now.
Oh, my clock's off. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
You're going to be 66. Man, man.
Six,
60. How old?
64.
64.
Don't make me older than I am.
No, I'm going to be 66.
Oh, so you're telling us all what's going on, huh?
Oh, yeah, that's okay.
Okay.
I had to tease you about that.
Oh, you did?
Yes. Sorry.
It's a mess up here today. It was a mess in the back. It was really a mess.
Yeah.
If I told you what happened, what Mike, we were trying to pray about it. It was a mess. We had a prayer meeting back there, asking everyone to forgive everybody. Somebody smashed a donut on Mike's car, and then something else happened to Mike. We won't point fingers. Something about a scratch on Mike's car from some other person that happens to be up here. We're not going to point fingers. But it was very devastating back there. And I said, we got to get spiritual because we got to go out and worship the Lord. So we're trying. That being said, it's good to have Carly back with us. Carly, girl. Come on up here, Carly. Carly sings over at the Jerry Presley show. I went and saw her the other night, and she did a bang-up job. She's proud of you. Yeah. How come you always get quiet when she's not like this normally? She just got it going most of the time. We do love Carly, and it's good to have you back. What are you going to sing for us today? She's going to sing a song, she said. Okay. Then sing the song. Whatever.
About the Lord and all the things He's done. He meets my every need. You know He's been so good to me, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all He's done. For all He's done, I'm gonna lift my hands and praise Him for all I'll try to live my life to please Him, even though I don't deserve to live. My life has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all He's done. There are many things that I could praise God for. If I started now until I die, there'd still be many more. If I could mention only one, I'd have to thank Him for His Son. Now that's enough to praise the Lord for all He's done. For all He's done, I'm gonna lift my hands and praise Him. For all He's done, I'll try to live my life to please Him. Even though I don't deserve to live, my life has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all He's done. For all He's done, I'm gonna lift my hands and praise Him. For all He's done, I'll try to live my life to please Him. Even though I don't deserve to live, my life has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all He's done. Even though I don't deserve to live, my life has just begun, but praise the Lord for all He's done. For all He's done.
Good job, Carly. Well, we got Forrest here. He's all in a suit today. He's suited up. He's ready to go. I like it a lot, Forrest.
Thanks, Dave.
Matching colors and everything. I mean, it's. I even think you polished up your shoes a little bit, maybe.
A little bit.
So, is there a special occasion today that I'm missing?
No, I just. You know,
it's not your birthday. Or?
I just bought this shirt and just figured I'd wear it.
It's good to wear shirts if you buy them.
It is.
It is good. Yep. Are you going to sing for us?
I am. Somebody told me the other day that I haven't done a bluegrass song in a while, and I told them I was trying to be nice.
They love it.
But this one's full-blown. I mean, it's got banjo and everything.
Are you playing on the tracks and everything? Let's just get it out there.
Yeah.
He makes all his own tracks, folks, and he does a bang of the... He plays all the instruments.
Well, everybody's been up here doing all these really pretty, beautiful songs, so I thought I'd just undo all of that.
Kind of mess it up?
Yeah.
For us. Sing for us, brother.
Cast aside your troubles and lay your burdens down at the feet of Jesus and rejoice in what you found. Joyous life, so happy in the Lord I shall abide. Cast aside, my brother, all your troubles cast aside. Cast aside. Live your life for Jesus and forever you'll survive. Cast aside. Have a home in life eternal and your troubles cast aside. There's a mansion waiting over on the other shore. When this life of pain and sorrow will be gone forevermore. And I'll soon be going over Jordan deep and wide. To be with my friends and loved ones with my troubles cast aside. Cast aside. Live your life for Jesus and forever you'll survive. Cast aside. Have a home in life eternal and your troubles cast aside. And forever you'll survive. Cast aside. Have a home in life eternal and your troubles cast aside. Have a home in life eternal and your troubles cast
for something completely different. That was great for us. Earth and heaven will pass away. It's not a dream. God will make all things new that day. Gone is the curse from which I stumbled and fell. Evil is banished to eternal hell. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. And praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen around. All the nations bow down to see. The only sound is the praises to Christ, our King. Slowly the names from the book are read. I know the King, so there's no need, no need to dread. Never crying again, and praises to the great I Am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See over there, there's a mansion that's prepared just for me, where I will live with my Savior eternally. And there will be no more, no. Never crying again, and praises to the great I Am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. Oh, praises to the great I Am.
Somebody say hallelujah. Woo. Give the Lord a big round of applause this morning. That was good.
Lily of the valley, let your sweet aroma fill my life. Rose of Sharon, show me how to grow in beauty in God's sight. Fairest of 10,000, make me a reflection of your light, of your light. Day stars shine down on me, and let your love shine through me in the night. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up the door, let your love speak to me. Show me what I've never seen. can take what's wrong in me and make it right. Day stars shine down on me and let your love shine through me in the night. Lord, I see a world that's dying, wounded by the master of defeat. And he's groping in the darkness, haunted by the years of past defeat. Oh, but when I feel you standing, hear me, Lord, shining with compassion in your eyes, in your eyes. I pray, Jesus, shine down on me and let your love shine through me in the night. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow anywhere you open up the door. Let your word speak to me. Show me what I've never seen. Cause you can take what's wrong and make it right. Oh, you can make it right. Day stars shine down on me and let your love shine through me in the night. I pray day stars shine down on me. Day stars shine down on me. Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night.
Amen. Amen. Let's give them all a great big hand. That was a great worship today. Good to see Lynn back with us. He's been away for a long time, but he's back with us. When he's not over giving him fits over at the nursing place. He's a good guy. I go by and see him. He's got a lot of different things going on. You know what they always talk about? The food over there. Not that it's real bad. It's just not real good. So Lynn didn't have his coffee today, and there's a reason for it. I was worried about him not having his coffee, Debbie, but he told me the reason why. We won't go over that here right now, but it is a blessing to have you back, Lynn. We do miss you around here, and this is a good thing. If they can bring you by, we'd love to see you every week, so it's good to have you here. We're in the book of the Revelation, chapter 19. We're coming to the end. We've just got a few more chapters. And I'm all excited about chapter 19 because I believe the entire book of the Revelation was written for this one chapter, in particular verse 11. Now, we may not get to verse 11 today, So those of you that are visiting, and how many of you are visiting us today? Give them a great big hand. It's good to have you all out today. Well, you can go online and you can catch the rest of the story. As we go through this, we're on GospelSunday.com. You can go to BransonGospelSunday.com. All of our sermons and our entire series and services are all archived there. The sermons are there. The singing and the music and the worship is there. It's a little different because it's the ambient sound from the room here. So it's not like we're in a studio. So when you go there, it's good, but it's not the greatest, but you can get the gist of everything in the service and everything. We're in chapter 19, the book of the Revelation. Once again, you have to get this picture in your mind. There is this little old man, John the Beloved, 90 years old, maybe even 90-something. God had sustained him. He's been exiled to a penal colony, a Roman rock quarry, where he has to work during the day, even at 90 years old. He has some job that he has to do out there. And then at night, he sleeps in a cave somewhere, and God gives him these visions so he doesn't sleep. He works all day and doesn't sleep at night. And yet God gives him this strength in these visions. And these visions are pretty frightening and scary to even the average person reading them, let alone a 90-year-old man that's gone through a lot in his life. Remember, they boiled him in oil, and that failed. He didn't die. So he probably had burns all over his body, sustained him, and so they just exiled him. And he lived out the rest of his days on this island of Patmos. And it was here that probably his greatest work was done for the Church of Jesus Christ. So you think you're old. I woke up this morning, I said, I'm just a few weeks away from being 64. Oh my gosh, my life is over. I'm not quite where John the Beloved was. And once again, his greatest work was done there. So never think that your ministry, your life is over, and that you can't touch someone for Jesus Christ, no matter how old you are. Chapter 19, the book of the Revelation. We had just finished 18. A lot of stuff had happened. Just the last couple of verses here. Verse 21 of 18, and a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. And for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her were found the blood of prophets and of saints and all that were slain upon the earth. Everything in Babylon the Great, the literal city, and then the system that is the world system, is shut down completely at this point. The Babylon the Great harlot, the city where the Antichrist dwells, is burned completely with fire. And everything stops. Everything. There's no music. In other words, there's no happiness anymore. There's no normal life going on. There's no sound of building going on, of craftsmen working, of people building homes and things like that. All the sound is gone away. And the light, there's no candle there. It's in darkness. There's no one marrying, no bride or bridegroom. Life comes to a screeching halt. And it gives a reason. It all came down because of the sorceries of Babylon the Great Harlot. The sorceries, the witchcraft, the taking away from the one true God. and destroying people's lives morally, spiritually, emotionally, physically, taking them away from a true relationship with God. Everything comes to a screeching halt, and the city is completely destroyed. Verse 24, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. During the tribulation, all those that believe in God, all those that will evangelize, all those that will prophesize, all those that will speak for the Lord will have their lives taken from them. Now, there's a small remnant left, even in the city of Babylon, because the voice of the angel says, come out from among them. Do not be partakers of their sin and then be partakers of the judgment. This was just in verse 18. We just read that. So there's a small remnant of people that are Christians, even saved during this time. It shows God's mercy, even during his judgment upon the earth. Now we come to chapter 19. Chapter 19 is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The book is called the Revelation, the Apocalypse, the Apocalypse in the Greek, which means the unveiling, the revealing, and it reveals who Jesus Christ really is. So the entire book of the Revelation comes to this point here in chapter 19, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 1, and after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. After the destruction of Babylon, after all this has taken place, there's rejoicing in heaven. There's moaning and mourning here on the earth, but in heaven there's happiness. Is it happy because people are destroyed and lives are wrecked? No. It's because the enemies of Jesus Christ are taken care of. And because the blood of the saints has been vindicated. It's about God taking out his true judgment on this earth, which has been awaited for a long time. And in heaven, there's rejoicing. The word there, hallelujah, which Mike came up and said, hey, everyone say hallelujah. He said that, remember? Hallelujah, a Greek word, transliteration of the Hebrew phrase, which is made up of this Hebrew verb called halal, which means to praise. And then it's a combination word, halal, which means to praise in the Hebrew, and then the noun in the Hebrew, Yah, which is God. It means to praise God. When we say hallelujah or alleluia, it means praise the Lord. That's a good thing, to praise the Lord and give him all the honor and glory that's due him. They give him the honor right here. All the people, the voices of them in heaven that are around the throne room there with God, they sang hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. That salvation comes under no other name than the Lord of Lords. Salvation and glory. He deserves the glory. Why? He's the creator. He's the one that spoke into existence this entire universe. And he created us out of the dirt of the ground. He molded us and created us. He deserves the glory. No one else, but he does. And honor and power, dunamis in the Greek, where we get a word dynamite, powerful stuff, explosive. He deserves all the glory, all the honor, all the power, which is unto the Lord our God. Verse 2. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. The great whore, of course, is Babylon, the great harlot. The world system. The world's religious system. The world's monetary system. The world's political system. It's all wrapped up into one thing. Babylon, the great harlot. and then judge physically the city, Babylon the Great, which was a very wicked city and will be a very wicked city. The Bible says here, true and righteous are his judgments. True and righteous. God judges in righteousness and in truth. That's one of his attributes. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes, the attributes of God, because we have a big one mentioned here in just a second. But truth is an attribute of God. He never lies. When Jesus said that I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also, he never lied. When he said in 3 days, this temple will be destroyed and then it will be built up and rise up, speaking of his body, he came back from the dead. When he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me, he meant it literally. If I be on the cross, I will bring all men, all manner of men, from every nationality, from every speck of the globe, from every place, from every religion even. People will come out and will come to the cross of Jesus Christ and accept Christ as their Savior. It doesn't matter who they are, where they're from. And we see that happening today, that people are coming to the cross, coming to Jesus Christ from every walk of life. They become Christians and their lives are changed forever. True and righteous are his judgments. And it says, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt. Corrupt in the Greek is a weird one. Phthiro, which means to waste, to shrivel, to wither, to spoil, to ruin, to corrupt, deprave, defile, destroy. Babylon the Great wants to destroy everyone. Just like Satan does. We have the unholy trinity. We have Satan, we have the beast, the false prophet, the unholy trinity. And all they have on their mind is the destruction of people in their lives. They have an agenda. Destroy whatever is in their path. So Babylon the Great corrupted the world, destroyed the world. And it says, and the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants of her hand. God has taken care of his enemies and destroyed them and wiped them out during this point. During this point in the tribulation. It is coming to the end of the tribulation. He hath avenged, the Bible says, the blood of the saints. Ekdekeo in the Greek, which means to retaliate, to vindicate, to punish, to avenge. You know, the Bible tells us that God is the just judge, and only he can vindicate people. Only he can judge people. Only he can retaliate. Because he's just. We're not just. We may think we're doing right by coming against someone or doing something in retaliation, and we could be wrong. We could be on the wrong side. But God is never on the wrong side. So he's true and just in everything that he does, even in the destruction of Babylon the great harlot, the one world system, in the complete destruction. He's just in that. And it says there's a reason for it. Because she corrupted the earth with her fornication. She destroyed them morally, spiritually. She's taken them away religiously from the one true God. And hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. She has killed hundreds of thousands of Christians and taken them down. That's what she has done. So now God, in his holiness and in his justice, is avenging the death and the corruption of the earth. Verse 3. And again they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. Here's a key phrase. Forever and ever. Well, you say, wait a second, Babylon the great harlot, the city where the beast lives. Well, it's going to be burnt with fire and eventually the smoke is going to smolder down and go away. That's true. But But the Bible talks about another place of torment where the smoke will always be. A place called the lake of fire, which is prepared for Satan and his angels, not prepared for us. But guess what? Soon you're going to read this. The beast and the false prophet are going to be cast right into the lake of fire. And it says this, that burns forever and ever. Here's the scary part about that, and we're going to study it because we're getting to it. Heaven is forever. The new earth is going to be forever. The lake of fire is going to be forever. I can't understand forever. I know that one of these days I'm going to come to my end. The Lord tarries, if He does. And I'll be put down. It's going to happen. You say, oh, don't talk so morbidly. No, I'm talking real here. It's a real thing. The Bible says it's appointed man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. We have to all be ready to meet the Lord. Now, I tell you this, I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I'm not perfect by any way, shape, or form. I've made a lot of mistakes, and I still make them. But the key is I try to live for the Lord. And the key is to try to do the best you can and not just wholesale sell out to Satan, see? You sell out to Satan, you're going to end up with Satan forever and ever. But if you sell out for the Lord and live for Him in holiness and righteousness and do the best you can and don't behaviorally, habitually live in sin, you're going to make it to heaven. You will. If you accept Christ and live for Him, you'll make it to heaven. And guess what? That's forever. But on the negative side, the smoke comes up forever and ever. It's a little frightening. It's a little frightening that that happens like that forever and ever. God's judgment is final, it's permanent, and it's irreversible. That means He can't come back and undo at all. This language right here in this passage is very similar to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. How God judged Sodom and Gomorrah for its vast immorality. How they turned their backs on God. Genesis 19:28. Judgment was swift and accurate. It came up. And then Edom was destroyed in Isaiah because of its atrocities. The Bible talks about the flames and smoke, which eventually died out. But the judgment is eternal on the souls of the sinners that are destroyed. It's eternal judgment. I mean, this needs to get in our souls and cause us to sit up and react a little bit. It's not just a one-off thing. One of the worst pains I ever felt was when they replaced my knee. Dr. Huffman did a good job. Afterwards, he came to me and said, man, I had to work an extra 45 minutes on you, Hamner. He said, your leg was destroyed. I played football. I did everything on that knee. It was bone on bone. I was performing on the stage in a specialized load-bearing knee brace for 2.5 years. You might have seen it through my jeans. I had it on. I remember pulling it on one time. I said, I never knew that I'd wake up and be a cripple like this, having to wear a brace to walk and to perform. Worst pain. It was even worse than the pain I experienced living with a bad knee that was bowed and bent and horrible. Every day, I'd wake up saying, "Wait, the pain, ever, is it ever going to go away?" But I knew in my mind, because I understand that eventually, the pain will go away. Eventually. I work that knee and the muscles around the knee and the quadricep. And I get up and I walk and I move, even though it's painful and I'm in tears almost and gritting my teeth. I know the pain's going to go away. But they're talking about here forever and ever. Eternal damnation. You will never wake up and say, when will the pain go away? Because you know it will never go away. It'll be with you forever and ever in torment. You say, oh, that's not a God of love. No, that's a God of truth and justice right there. That's who that God is. When we become an enemy of the cross, we don't live according to His commandments. We have a destructive lifestyle. All we can expect is judgment. But today we live in a weird time, I told you last week, where the right is wrong, the wrong is right. Everything is confused. People are confused. Life, but you know what? The Bible lays it out and tells us how we're supposed to live. It really does. And it's black and white. It's not gray. It's black and white. The Bible tells us we're to live and worship God only. The Bible tells us how we're supposed to live morally. The Bible tells us how we're to interact with one another and how to behave in the society. The Bible warns against us being caught up in sorcery and all kinds of other manner of evil. That Babylon the Great, it's out there right now, the system. It's on the developmental thing, but it's there. That we get caught up in the world system itself. All we can expect is judgment. That's why last week we heard the voice, come out from Babylon, come out. Be separate. Do not be partakers of her sin, lest you be judged. Forever and ever, think about it. It's a wake-up call to all of us. And again, they say, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. Verse 4. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. Here's the 24 elders, which we talked about this, probably representing the apostles. Could be representative from the 12 tribes of Israel, but they're elders, they're great men of renown. It could be some of the patriarchs, we don't know. But they all bow down and they worship God. It's a great sight. These great men are showing us how to do it. And the 4 beasts, the angelic type of beast, strange beast, that surround the throne, protect the throne, they fall down and they worship God that sat on the throne saying, Amen, Alleluia. Amen means so be it. Or yes, it should be as such. Verse 5. And a voice came out of the throne saying, this voice coming out of the throne, it kind of stops us. Is it God's voice coming out of the throne? It doesn't seem to be because it's talking about God in the second person. Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. Verse 6. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as a voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Look at this in verse 5. Praise our God, all you servants, and ye that fear Him. This is the thing. People that don't fear God live in sin. What's to stop you, if there is no God, from doing whatever you want or living any way you feel? Like the Bible says at one point, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. What's to keep us all from just killing each other and robbing each other or robbing banks on a daily basis and doing drugs and doing whatever we feel like we want to do? What stops us? The fear of God stops us. The fear of God. It's the beginning of wisdom. God gave His commandments. Back in the Old Testament, God was speaking from Mount Sinai. And the people said, oh, Moses, you go up and talk to him. His voice is so horrible. We don't want to hear it. We're scared. And God even told Moses, it's the fear of me that will cause them to not sin. If we could see God in all of His glory and all of His strength and all of His power, which we're talking about right here and now, we would fear Him. Fear in the Greek is phobos, where we get a word phobia, which means to be very afraid. Maybe rather than God always being our buddy and just someone that's the last person to hang on to, just a last minute escape for whatever, our last hope, maybe God needs to be feared. And when we fear Him, we understand His logic in giving us the commandments so that we live by them. And we live according to His statutes and precepts. We live according to His law. Now, we're not under law. We're under grace. But I tell you what, once we're under grace, do we go back and sin? The Apostle Paul said, may it never be. God forbid. Once we have been freed from the slave market of sin, it's the most stupid thing in the world to put the chains back on and go back into sin, the slave market. Well, I'm free to do it. Oh, you can do it. But that doesn't mean you're a child of the King. Child of the King lives differently. His life is different. He gets up in the morning, has a different agenda of his life. He's not always thinking about evil and doing things that are bad and what he can do to get by. He thinks about what he can do to further the kingdom of God. And that's a lifestyle that's productive and lifts up the name of God. See, this is all about lifting up and glorifying the name of God. If we fear Him, we're not going to live in sin habitually, daily, behaviorally. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye His servants, ye that fear Him. If we fear Him, we're going to serve Him, both small and great. Verse 6, and as I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters. When there's many waters, it's noisy. When water's running, the water falls and moving. Oh, it's a noisy thing. It's powerful. And as the voice of mighty thunderings, you know, when you hear that, mighty thunderings, saying, alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Omnipotence. It's one of the great attributes of God. Let me read you the attributes real quickly, and then we're going to shut the service down today. Somebody compiled this list, a theologian, of 10 awesome attributes of God. First one they put down was omniscient. Omniscient. God knows everything and His knowledge is complete. This is called His omniscience. Isaiah said that Israel had not seen everything that God had planned. Job said that God had all knowledge. The psalmist, David, said that God's understanding was infinite. The New Testament claims God's omniscience in 1 John 3:20 and Romans 11:33. God knows everything. He has all knowledge. Then there's this one we just talked about, omnipotent. Where does it come from, first of all? We got to lay that out. In the Greek, it's pantocrator, which means the all-ruling, almighty, absolute, and universal sovereign. The ruler over all. Omnipotent. What is the origin of the word omnipotence in our English language? The word omnipotence derives from the Latin term, Roman. Omnipotence. Two words, omnipotence, meaning all omnipotence, powerful. Instead of infinite power, which was implied by the English counterpart, it means all powerful. And it was used for deities and Roman emperors. So omnipotence means God is able to bring to pass everything that He chooses. He has no external limitations. His only limits are those He places upon Himself. The book of Job says that He can do all things and that nothing can restrain Him. Genesis 18 asks, is anything too hard for the Lord? The answer, of course, is no. So if we understand that he's omniscient and he's omnipotent, he's all-knowing and all-powerful, it makes us want to live more closely to him. Amen? Then he's omnipresent. There you go. This means that God's omnipresence speaks to the fact that he is present in all places at all times. 24/7, he's on call. He's there. While God is in heaven and his throne, he's also present in every place. Proverbs 15 says that his eyes are in every place. Jeremiah says that God is close at hand and that no one can hide himself from God. Psalms tells us, 139, reading that whole great passage that David wrote, that where the psalmist says that he can never be out of the sight of God, whether he's in heaven or in hell, God is there with him. He's everywhere present all the time, 24/7. Omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence. Those are three big ones. I'm telling you, if we really believe this, what the Bible says about God and the understanding about how inclusive he is with these attributes, I think we'd live differently. Another attribute is that he's immutable. I got to go quickly here. By nature, God is absolutely unchanging. He does not change. Psalm 90 says that before anything was created, God was eternal and existed in the same state that he is now. Malachi 3:6, we used to call it Malachi in seminary. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. God is immutable, he's never changing. The same yesterday, today, and forever. God is the same. If he's the same, then this word is the same. His commandments are the same. And how we live should be the same. He's holy. There we go. Lay it out there. One of his greatest attributes. He is holy. Only God truly is holy. And he wants to put this emphasis on the holiness, even that we live. When God revealed himself to man, to Moses, Job, Isaiah, on the Mount of Transfiguration, all these moments where he revealed himself, each encounter mentions his holiness. Isaiah called God the Holy One more than 30 times. Psalm 99:9 says, the Lord our God is holy. And Habakkuk says this, because of his holiness, he cannot accept nor even look upon sin. This is why I say we as Christians need to have a no-tolerance look upon sin. We love the sinner. We love people because we're all in the same soup. But when it comes to sin, we just don't clap a person on the back. Oh, just keep going the way you are. No. You got to pull them out of the fire. What'd you say? You're in sin? No, you got to get your heart right with God. Come on. There's a no tolerance. And that doesn't mean that we're bigoted and we're judgmental and we're harsh towards people that sin, because we're all in the same soup, as I just said. The Bible says we got to pull each other up and out of the fire. And if someone is in sin, we tell them and we confront them in love and say, you got to get out of this situation. You have to come back to the cross. You have to come back to the Lord. You have to confess and get your heart right with God. That's why the Bible says confess your sins one to another. And it's an ongoing thing. Righteous is one of his attributes. This is a good one too. God's holiness is manifested in his righteousness. Because he is holy, he is righteous. The attribute of righteousness is the way his holiness is expressed when dealing with man. Many verses in the scripture throughout deal with his righteousness. God is sovereign. That's another attribute. It's how he rules his creation. This is what makes him free to do what he knows is best for all of us. Though he is in complete control, he has also given us a free will to obey or reject his leading. We can walk out of here and go completely contrary to the word of God. We can. You say, no, I can't. Yes, you can. You can choose that path. Try it. Go down here and speed. Go in your car. You can push on the gas a little harder, can't you? Sure, I can do that. Or you can choose not to, because you know the cop is waiting around the corner. The fear of reprisal and getting a ticket may stop you from doing that. The fear of knowing that God is there watching everything I do. Even though I have a free choice, I choose not to sin. See, before you came to the cross, you didn't have a choice. You just sinned. You just sinned. You went out and did the things you were not supposed to do. You would sin without even thought, without any remorse. But once you accepted Jesus Christ and came to the cross and under the blood, all of a sudden, there's a thought process that goes on because the Holy Spirit is in you. It's like Lost in Space. You remember that robot? Danger, danger. He would tell that little kid, danger. Will Robin, danger. When things were bad, the Holy Spirit goes, danger, danger. In your heart, when things are going in the wrong direction, He throws up that red flag to you. And you can choose to go away from that, or you can choose to do what you shouldn't do. The sovereignty of God. Then there's the love of God. This is the big one, too. There's one attribute that people love to embrace, and that's the fact that God is love. Yes, He is. But now we're seeing that God also is just, and there's judgment involved in His righteousness and in His justice. But He does love us. For God so loved the world that He gave up His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believeth in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. God loves us and wants us to be with Him. It's because of His love that He sent Jesus Christ. Now we have the choice to choose Him and accept Him. God is merciful. This means that He is not giving us what we deserved. I love that song little Carly girl sang. Even though I shouldn't be alive, God's given us the opportunity and chance. I deserve death because I've sinned. And death comes because of sin. It does. But He gives us mercy so that we can come to the cross and accept Him. And that's the beautiful picture of God's mercy. Then there's the Trinity. They use this one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the reason I wanted to keep this in this lesson today, just as there's the Trinity, there's the unholy Trinity in the future, Satan, the beast, and the false prophet. But we have the unholy Trinity today. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the world, the boastful pride of life. We've got the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's what we have to deal with. There's the unholy Trinity. The world, the flesh, and the devil. The world tells us one thing, not what God tells us. It tells us its own view and its own philosophy. And we get sucked away, even as Christians sometimes, by that. There's the flesh. There's something within us because we're born into a sinful nature. It's in our DNA. It's in our makeup. We have this thing that is within us that we have a penchant to sin and do things that we shouldn't, that are contrary to what God wants. Then there's the devil, Satan himself, that wants to destroy us. God has a plan for each and every one of you. The plan is not to serve Satan. The plan is to live for the Lord and to keep His commandments. One day judgment is coming during the great tribulation. The Christians will not be here. I've already told you that. I believe that there's going to be the rapture of the church. Now, whether you believe it happens at the beginning or at the middle, I don't see it happening at the end. It doesn't make any sense. We're going to learn about that next week. But I believe the next event for the Church of Jesus Christ is the rapture, where we're going to be taken up to be with the Lord. And we're going to be taken up forever and ever with Him. Forever to be with the Lord. See, if you love Him, you're going to be with Him. If you've accepted Him, you'll be with Him. If you have not really committed your heart to Christ, you won't be with Him. So the question is today, where are you? It comes down to that fork in the road every time. Are you with the Lord? Or are you with Satan? Are you with God's Word and His commandments? Or are you with the world system and what it has to offer? Who are you going to be with? I want every head bowed and every eye closed. You know, life is short, folks. Too short. The Bible says that life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while and then vanishes away. James wrote that. Short. It's like a mist that comes up and then it blows away. Hey, don't even know it's really been there. Life is short. Maybe you're here today and something touched a nerve in your heart. You say, if I were to die right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. But today I want to make sure. I want to know that my heart is right with the Lord. If you're like that today and you want to know for sure that you're a Christian, would you slip your hand up and put it down? No one's looking. Yes, you can put your hands down. I'm going to give you this opportunity to open up your heart to the Lord. You say, oh, I've done this before. That's okay. You might encourage your neighbor. I want us all to pray this out loud. I want to hear you up here. Because the Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time, the Bible says. I want you to pray this prayer. It's a prayer of confession. It's a prayer of acceptance. It's a prayer of opening up your heart to Jesus Christ. So I want you to say it out loud and just say it so that your neighbors can hear you too. Say this with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I know I'm a sinner. I need you. I want you to come in my heart and life. Take away all my sins. Wash me in your precious blood. I promise to live for you each and every day. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart. Now, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, the Bible says if you prayed that prayer, your name is written in the book of life. You're a Christian. If you prayed that today and you really meant it with the Lord, would you raise your hand and put it down? No one's looking. Yes. God bless you. Lord, I just pray for each and every person that you will walk with them each and every day. And help them to live their lives for you each and every day. And to live according to your commandments. We thank you for today. Just bless each and every person that has come. Open up our minds. Open up our hearts. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Now, if you did pray that today, pick up some of those Gospels of John. Take them. Take a whole handful. A big handful. Take them home. Lay them all around the house. Your kids, your grandkids, your family can pick them up and read it. Get into that book of John, the Gospel of John, the same one that wrote the book of the Revelation, John the Beloved. That great gospel tells exactly who Jesus Christ is. Fall in love with him. Become his best friend, the friend of God. Become his friend. Live for him each and every day. We're going to have communion in a few moments. As soon as we dismiss, it's an open table. I want you to stay if you're able to stay. It just takes a moment. So come and sit down over here and then we'll all do the communion. We have a bucket on your way out. If you're able to help with the ministry, we say thanks. So if you're not able, just you being here has been an incredible blessing. Thank you for coming out today. I want you all to stand. Didn't our worshipers do a great job? Forrest, you did great. Tamara, I love that song. Gary Doon, Bernie, Mikey, they all did a great job. Let's continue to pray. Carly, girl, you did a great job today. Just so thankful to have you singing again up here in church on Sunday. We have a few requests. Want to remember them. Craig Cowsley, let's lift him up to the Lord. He's going through a hard time. God will just bless him and give him strength. We want to lift up Fran. She's here today, but that God will continue to bless her. She had the stroke, but she's back in church. Let's continue to lift up Denise's dad as he's recovering at home. They had that stent put in this week. He's doing well. Tammy Felton goes in tomorrow to have her knee replaced, and Denny's going to get results this week on the cancer. Let's just lift them both up. They're going through a real rough spell in their life. Tammy's having it done at the Mercy Orthopedic Hospital right off 65 up here. Phyllis is here today. It's so good to have Phyllis back. And just lift her up to the Lord that God will keep blessing her. She's recovering from that surgery and doing well. We need to remember Bill. He's not doing well. He is home, but he's just not doing well. God will continue to bless him. For Richard and Lynn, let's lift them up to the Lord. It's so good to have Lynn once again with us. Let's just lift them up to the Lord that God will bless them in a nursing facility, and that God will bless Debbie and Bonnie and help them. Teddy Higginbotham, we need to lift them up to the Lord. We need to once again lift up Wanda, who just had her eyes have surgery on, and she's having some issues. We just lift her up to the Lord that God will bless her. Donna Quested, let's lift her up to the Lord that God will help her. The Carols, Liz, Lou, and Kim Kelly, that God will bless them out. And Scottsdale, Arizona, that Lou and Liz will be strengthened. Leon, he's not here again today. Just lift him up here. I talked to him this week on the phone. He says he's just struggling a little bit. He's not doing real well. Just lift him up. Sody's not here today. Her back's not feeling so well. Just lift her up. Bernie's brother, we keep praying for him and the cancer, what's going on there. We'll lift up John Harper also, that God will just bless him and encourage him. Let's give these to the Lord, and we've already listed them also. We'll dismiss in prayer. Lord, we thank you for today. And we just pray that you'll bless us and encourage us for having been in your presence. But Lord, we lift up each and every one of these requests. We lay them at your feet, asking you, Lord, to touch them in Jesus' name. So those that need healing, we ask you to touch their bodies, raise them up. We also remember Justin, Jim's son. Once again, Lord, that you just bless him. We failed to mention him, but Lord, he's doing better, and we just pray that you'll help him. And all the other requests, Lord, today, those that are sick and infirm, you'll raise them up from their sick beds and encourage them. But Lord, I just pray that you'll help us to live for you each and every day. And remember that forever and ever is a long time, Lord. And we need to make sure that we're with you. Bless each and every person. Help us to live for you in Christ Jesus' name. We pray, and all God's people said, amen. Good morning. God bless each and every one.